It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel here at Kitchen Notes on this Thursday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos back at the house. What's up?
You know what? Just a beautiful day. And I'm going to get – all right, let's get it out of the way. John Robinson's going to join us at 10 o'clock today here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And everything's on the table. We're just going to let you know right now everything's on the table, and we'll talk about that later during the show. Here's my question to you, Chase. This is a non-sports question, but it's one that bugs me. Our good friend Katie Morgan yesterday tweeted out that tomorrow we're not in the 90s. Yep. It's going to be in the 80s, lows in the upper 60s, yada, yada, yada. So I quote tweeted her and said, give me this instead of January.
Yeah.
And it took off with people like, you are insane. And the other half like, absolutely. Where do you stand on this issue?
So basically you're asking, do you like
what we've been
cold
going through?
Or hot?
Yeah.
That's a good question. So when I was younger, like I was all about summer. Like I love summer, but I think that was because I'm out of school and
right?
You know, there's the pool and all that stuff. As I've gotten older, you know, my thing is, you can put on as many layers as you want.
Sure.
You can only take off so many.
Okay. It's not an answer.
I'm going to say I probably – well, can I – like
– no, I need an answer.
Like, I don't want 20.
But here's the deal. If the extreme is in the upper 90s, then I'm talking in the teens.
Yeah.
For 30 days in the teens. Would you take that?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Because you're smart.
No.
And those and you people who say you would, you're savages. And I'll be circling back around in January to give you hell, like the hell you've been giving us. I'll take this all day because we know it doesn't last. But I'm just curious where people lie. Do you like it, this, or do you want the teens?
Yeah.
Because this is the extreme.
Yeah.
This isn't a normal summer. Or do you want the extreme that happens? So I'm just curious.
So as Joe mentioned, former Titans general manager John Robinson is going to join us here at the Omni today. I will tell you that, look, we're going to ask the questions. I don't know what he – well, I do know there are certain things he can't talk about, and there are certain things that he doesn't want to talk about. And I'm going to respect that. I've, you know, always had a good relationship with John. But I told him, I said, look, if we're going to do this, you know, there are certain things that we're going to have to bring up. So,
right.
And so he's nice enough with his time that he's going to come down and hang out with us. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know a lot of you – have questions and stuff. I am going to say this, and I'm going to say this to his face. I think there's a lot of stuff he gets blamed for that's unfair. But at the same time, I think that there are, moves that he made as the general manager that were the wrong moves. I think he made right moves.
Yeah.
But I think some of the criticism is warranted, but some isn't. If that makes sense.
It does. All right. So we're not – look, there's a lot of things he did wrong, a lot of things he did good. We're going to get hit all of them today. But remember he took over a football team that was 2-14, was the worst team in the league, and they had the second pick. It wasn't his fault. You know, when he came in 2016, they had the number one pick in the draft.
Yep.
Was not his fault. New GM, traded out of it, got Conklin. That 16 draft is fantastic. Kevin Dodd sucked. You missed on that one. But Conklin was good. Byard was good. Derrick Henry was good. There's another guy from that draft that's still playing, I think.
Austin Johnson?
Is that who it is? Or Daquan?
Daquan Jones?
Daquan Jones, yeah. I think he was still
playing. Actually, both may still be playing.
So that's a great draft. 17, you had Corey Davis and then the dude from USC that went to Dory Jackson,
yeah.
Right, with the schwa at the end. Or
yeah.
The accent grave, whatever it's called, the E, the slash over the E. So, I mean, and then – they were fine, you know, and the question was like, well, did Davis go that high? Look, he was fine. He contributed. 18 sucked, you know, Rashawn Evans. Probably want that one back. But you hit on Harold Landry. You only had 4 picks in that draft. 19, you had A.J. and Simmons.
Yep.
And then 20.
Yeah.
21 and 22.
Yeah. So, again, that's on the table. We'll have that conversation with him. We'll get his thoughts on kind of the NFL now. I think what Joe Rexroad asked us to ask him is a fair question of, like, are you wanting to – what's next? What do you want to do now? So we will cover all that. But, I hope I know, I don't hope, I know that everyone's going to get something out of this, that this will be a good interview.
So kudos to you. I mean, you did all the legwork and groundwork. You worked on this for a long time. You get all the accolades for doing this. Let me ask you this. Is this, when you're talking to him, is this a mea culpa tour?
I don't know. I think maybe to an extent. That's a good question for him. I don't know. I mean, I feel like that there's definitely been reflection with him, which, I mean, I think anybody would go through that. Like, yeah. when you did something, you were just so deep in it, and then you're not anymore. And you know, you back away and you kind of think and like, okay, well, would I've done this differently or would I've done that differently? I can tell you something that, you know, he might say is, it's kind of like a play. If you have a bad play, you want the bad play back, you know? Okay. So, I mean, I think to an extent, cause to all I know is he did Good Morning Football as like a host.
Right.
And then I think he's done a podcast. Didn't he do a podcast with Hutton?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he hasn't really done anything local.
Right. So let me ask you this. I'm acting like you're John Robinson. When he goes and interviews for another GM job, these are the same questions. If I'm a president of football operations.
I would think, but I don't know. I would ask you,
what happened to Isaiah? Why do you think Isaiah Wilson went sideways? Why do you think Caleb Farley went sideways? What made you see Treylon Burks? Why was he the guy? Were you not prepared when that all went down to have a default plan in place to go? And how did that go down? Were you told when you went to your owners?
So Caleb Farley was 21.
One. Yes.
So that was after the AJ trade.
No. AJ trade came in April of 22.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then, you know, what you had said you weren't going to trade him. And, you know, and then you go, you know, how did that all – what's the genesis of all that? Did you go to the owner and say, look, here's what we got a problem here? Did she tell
that's
you to
where,
do this?
That's where I think you're going to get a, you know.
Well, he will be asked.
Right.
And if his reply – I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody said on my Facebook account – and by the way, some of y'all are just
people
insane.
Like are now blaming us.
Y'all are insane. Somebody's like – I'm not going to listen because it feels like you're putting J-Rob on the stand and you're going to hammer him and hammer him. And I'm like, no, this is a couple of guys just talking. This isn't Woodward and Bernstein at Watergate. We're not going to try to take down the government. We're not doing that. It's all – we know John for years, and this is going to be just an interview. That's it.
And well, and one thing I am going to ask him is, what does it say – because a lot of people, because seeing the replies the last few days kind of made me think of something. Everybody's like, nobody cares about the Titans. Titans fans care about the Titans.
Absolutely they do.
Because the passion and the vitriol that has been in my news feed the last few days about having him on, like, is, I mean, crazy, but also, like, hey, it shows you care. And this fan base cares.
They do. They do care. And that's why all the attention now is on
this. And I care. Like, I when we were talking the other day, I said, look, I didn't get into this to be a journalist. I'm a fan. And so, like, I go through this every day as a fan.
Right. In the words of the Honky Tonk Man, you're no journalist, Gene Bean.
Well, I'm not. I don't pretend to be. Like, I don't want to be. That's why I laugh when people are like, well, it's your job. You have no effing idea what my job is.
Right.
You know, like, it's just, like, I love that. That it's like, well, your job is, like, I don't know what your job is.
But I know what your job is.
Like, I am a data analyst for, you know, Bank of America. Yeah. I don't know what the hell that is or what that does.
Well, you know, the thing, so if you out there, if you want to ask, send to the text line. I mean, we might get to a few of those. We might get to more than a few of those if they come in. It's like, oh, I didn't think about that. 615-737-1025. Let us know. I mean, this is – we're all doing this together. I mean, it's not like this is the big, like, oh, look at those guys. We're all going to do this together. You're all going to listen to it. We're all going to be waiting on his answer and everything.
And here's the other thing. They're going to be – after the interview is done, There are going to be people that say, hey, good job, guys. Really enjoyed that. There are going to be people that are like, you guys suck.
I get that every day.
Like, you guys didn't ask this. You didn't ask that.
That's fine.
I get that from the lady at Kroger.
That's right. I do that.
Now, I know the thing you really want to bring up with him is T. Graham Brown or Morgan Wallen, right?
It was
what'd you say?
Merle Haggard or Merle Morgan Haggard. Wallen? Yeah. we're gonna ask the musical taste. Who does he prefer, Merle Haggard or Morgan Wallen? Which one? Let us know.
Yeah,
to do all that. I don't know, but it'll be fun. And then so we, I don't know, you know, how much he watches football. I'm sure he does. I mean, a football guy's a football guy.
Let me ask you this question, and I wish I could ask him to his face, but unfortunately I can't because Floyd is no longer with us, but. Do you think if Twitter had been around when Floyd got let go, that the vitriol that John gets would be have been the same towards Floyd?
Not even close.
But,
not even close.
Okay. But the only big difference in the resume is Floyd got a team to the Super Bowl, John got him to the AFC Championship game. But that's really if you think about the resume.
Right.
That's really the only big difference. Now, Floyd was there longer. Floyd had to move a team. There's a lot of other little things there, too. It's not apples to apples. But I'm just saying, when you talk about, like, the accomplishments,
right.
They're similar.
That's a good point. But that early Titans team was Nashville's team.
Yeah.
Everybody grew up with that. Like, Super Bowl, we never experienced that before. Exciting games at Nissan Stadium. Never experienced that before, ever. So I think when Floyd was gone, I was like, it's kind of time and all that. I think now.
See, I didn't. I mean, and I obviously like Jeff too.
But sure.
Because, I mean, I think them together was better than them apart.
I think everything, Chase, revolves around the A.J. Brown trade.
Yeah.
Every single thing. Because the tentacles off of that.
But again, I'll continue to, you know, it's a good back and forth. I remember as a kid when the day that they announced Derek Mason, Kevin Carter, Joe Nedney, and Samari Roll, I was like, what the hell is Floyd Reese doing?
Yep.
Because and obviously that was when we all got introduced to the salary cap penalties and, you know, the cap casualties, whatever. Right. But I kind of looked at that as, what is he doing? You know, and I think a lot of fans did. Again, different.
Yeah, 20 years ago, right. But we all remember just because of what A.J. Brown, what's like, he came in, the team was doing good, and then he's going to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And you're like, what happened here? And I think it all happened so fast. Well, and then A.J. goes and does what he does. He's been to two Super Bowls, win one, and people are like, oh, man, he should have been. And so A.J. Brown will always haunt this franchise. And that's my thing. I want to know, and I've told you this, when he went to Amy – and said, what do we do here? I want to know what – we probably will never find out. But I'm telling you, he had to run it up the flagpole. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened from then on?
Yeah, I know. It went through – but Floyd had to run it up the flagpole too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Again, you know, there are a lot of similarities. I mean, Floyd told on this station the story of when Bud made him lock McNair out of the facility. I mean – now, Amy hasn't been that extreme
right.
yet, but the last name definitely.
Yeah, so when Floyd had to lock McNair out, it was Bud. Bud
correct.
So we know. The AJ thing, we know, but we don't know until we know.
I feel pretty confident.
Yes, right? But, and so all that went on. But it's still, I mean, it's – and then it's, you know, like the Vince Young draft choice. I mean, it's like, you know, we knew that. That was Bud's guy. It was Bud's deal. Bud wanted that guy.
EY is my guy.
EY is my guy. And all that went on. Anyway, we'll find it. 10 o'clock, John will join us, and we'll start. We'll go from there.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Coming up next, did Cam Ward have a better day yesterday? I don't really know. We'll discuss that. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Big Joe, 1025 The Game. On this Thursday, we're live at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. On July 31st, which is a great day. You know why it's a great day?
Because football's here.
Because it is my mother's birthday.
Oh, okay.
So happy birthday to my mother.
We waited 20 minutes to tell Carol happy birthday?
Well, I had to make sure she was listening.
Okay. All right. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I will tell you this, and I'll tell you, Dr. Crane, this. Cherish your mother's birthdays as much as you can.
Yep.
I will tell you that right now.
100%.
Because my mother passed away. Thanksgiving didn't bother me. Christmas didn't bother me. It was my birthday that bothered me and my mom's birthday that really bothered me.
That's kind of how it's been with my dad and with grandparents and all of that. Excuse me. But happy birthday, Mom. So I will see you later.
That a boy.
It will be a good time. So yesterday... I know we're both.
We try to eat as much as we can during the break.
Yeah, it's literally like.
I'm so sorry.
John Robinson joins us now. yesterday, I didn't think. I mean, I thought he was a little bit better, but I was listening on my way back from camp. I was listening to Derek and Willie's breakdown of Cam Ward, and I mean I think what people have to understand is this kid, I mean there's a lot more differences between the college game and the pro game that people realize.
Yeah.
Like that step from college to pro is a lot bigger than, you know, well they run a pro style offense or they like it's different. Cuz you're truly going from playing against big boys to grown men.
You are, and that's why I think it is so – if you're a Titans fan of football, listening to Derek Mason talk about training camp practice from his perspective is fascinating because you and me and Willie, we don't know. I mean, we watch, you know, we see things, but to actually be in the arena and then, you know, Derek's making good points about throwing up his back foot, low balls, and just the adjustments of things that go on, it's fascinating. But I was out there Tuesday, he looked terrible.
Yeah.
He looked terrible. I'll be honest. Cam Ward looked up, but it's training camp practice, right?
Right.
Paul had a good point today, Kowarski, that Cam had said, you know, I'm doing things out there I normally wouldn't do in the game. All right. We're a month out from the football game. Why are you doing that now? Why are you trying to have fun? You should be doing that in OTAs. Shouldn't you be learning to do things you're going to do in the game? It's a great point that Paul had. So I think that's what Cam Ward needs to work on. Instead of taking chances that you're not going to do in a game, you're just wasting time.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I think I asked this right before training camp. If they let us come for the first day and then we weren't there for 6 weeks, like now we'd have nothing to talk about.
Right.
But how good that almost might be, because then you walk in right before the season and you look at him and you're like, man, holy cow, he's come a long way since that first day.
Or the problem was during OTAs, remember the clips we got from the Titans?
Oh yeah. They're all the good
stuff. He looks really like Spider-Man rolling out and throwing the ball 87 yards on a rope and all that. And so you kind of drunk with the soon-to-be success of all that. It makes you feel good. And like, look at the throw he's making. Then you realize he gets out there and Jeffrey Simmons bull rushes Corey Levin up his ass, and then he can't go anywhere. And then Cam Ward's like, oh, my God, what's happening? And then you're like, all right. Here comes the adjustment, what you got to do, what you got to happen in your career and make things happen and move around. It's a different ball game. He'll get there, right? I mean, he'll get there. But it didn't have a good day the other day. Sometimes we don't have good days, and that happens.
That's true. Sometimes there's good days.
Sometimes there's bad days. I'm not going to talk about it.
But what you got to do is get yourself, pull yourself up when you fall down.
Or as my coach used to scream at us, hey, if what you did yesterday still looks good today, you haven't done much. God, I've heard that a billion times.
Who used to say that? Was that a coach?
Yeah. Say, what you did yesterday? And then he would go, and he's like, at the very end of every practice, he's like, remember three things. You don't embarrass your team, you don't embarrass the program, and you don't embarrass your mom. I was like, oh, my God. He said it so much, I wanted to go out and embarrass my team, family, and mom, which I ended up doing.
Yeah, I was about to say, did you actually do that?
I took that to heart, yeah, down the line. Oh, God.
I can only imagine.
You know, it's funny. I asked Derek Mason. I said, because he played with Ray Lewis all those years. I said, was there ever a point in the locker room you're like, Ray, just shut up.
Just shut up.
What did Derek say?
He's like, every day. Every day we'd sit and laugh.
So true story, there, when Derek first started working with us full time and I was producing, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, we're going to get Ray Lewis. We're going to get, you know, like
Ed Reed,
the Ray Rice stuff just started. And we did get Ed. Like, Ed Reed came on, Samari came on. And I'm like, I'm just waiting for Ray Lewis. And Derek, like, one day is like, man, I'll try, but I really got tired of hearing him all the time.
Oh, I can only imagine. I said, did you ever watch his dance come out? He's like, never. Didn't watch that dance at all. I was too busy worried about the game coming up.
Yep. We did. We had Billick on. There was one year that we did, we actually went around team to team and did previews, and he got John Harbaugh.
Oh, good.
And that was how we previewed the Ravens, was John
Harbaugh. What was the Billick thing? Remember he had the famous line about when they beat the Titans at Nissan Stadium?
Yeah.
And they used to play it in Nissan Stadium all the time. And Billick, I mean, there was some pure hatred.
Oh, yeah.
There on and off the field between the Ravens and the Titans.
Yeah. I think some of that's been, you know, fixed now. But, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it happened. I mean, because, look – the 2000 season, and I've got this list we'll do another time, the best football teams in your franchise that never won the Super Bowl that should have. The 2000 Titans are that team.
That's the best, yeah.
That's the best team ever been in the city. And the Ravens beat them. Then 2003, the Titans beat the Ravens up there. 2008, the Ravens come here and beat the Titans. And then in 2019, the Titans go up there and beat the Ravens. 2020, Lamar Jackson runs past. The guy ran his mouth. I wanted to shut up. Kenny Vaccaro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he ran past him. I was like, yeah, Kenny, you need to just go ahead and take care.
Okay, so the top three Titans teams in history since they've been here. Oh, 2000 is number one.
Yep.
Would you go 21 or 08?
Probably 08. They were good. You had Albert, Vandy Bosch.
That D-line was nasty.
Chris Johnson. And they had no receivers. Justin Gage was your guy. They had no receivers.
Right.
But you had Tony Brown, Javon Curse, Albert, and Vandy Bosch.
Yeah.
We're just
Tony Brown's kind of the forgotten guy on that line.
Destroying
too.
People. I mean, they were destroying people. I saw when they played the Packers, I thought they had they killed Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because they pounded him. I think David Carr was playing for the Panthers. I thought David Carr was dead. I mean, that's how hard they were hitting the quarterbacks. But then I'd go 21, that team.
Yeah. So that's the top three.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
They were really good. 99 and 19 were surprises. Did
Correct.
Not think they were going to do
Correct.
That at all. Thought they might be decent, and then they were like, wow. I mean, and the most surprising team that's ever been here besides 99, the 17 team. Nobody saw that happening.
When they beat Kansas City.
Yeah, because remember, they 14 and 15, these Titans teams were terrible. 16, they got, and we'll give credit to John Robinson, they turned that culture around. I mean, it was going good. And 17, then they go and they beat Kansas City. That was Alex Smith's last game because Mahomes started in 18. Then they go up to 14-0 on the Patriots.
Yep.
Up in New England, and then Brady then rallied afterwards. So I would say the 17 team was a team that really surprised me.
615-737-1025. Again, John Robinson will join us at the top of the hour. Colton Herta, IndyCar driver, is going to be racing in Nashville at the end of the month. Will join us right before that at 9:45.
All right, I have a serious problem with the NFL Network or their training camp coverage. And if you listen, stick around, you'll understand why and you'll agree with me. So I've got a serious problem with that, and I'll tell you what it is next.
Joe's rant next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Is this Travis Tritt Day?
I hope so. Love Travis Tritt.
Travis Tritt Thursday.
I have seen him three times now. He's fantastic.
He is. I mean, he's country club.
I smell T-R-O-E.
What's the one? Yeah. I don't love you anymore.
That will bring, this is your line, will bring a tear to a glass eye.
And that video, heck yeah, man. Max's name, riding around that wheelchair. I mean, that's a great video. All right, so my rant. I can't sleep at night because I'm on this stupid medicine because my A1C is higher than Willie Nelson. So I do this, so I watch NFL Network, what's going around. They're at Pittsburgh Steelers camp yesterday. It's Brian Baldinger, which I love. I think he is a underrated analyst. I think he's massively underrated. They're at Pittsburgh Steelers camp. When we go to Titans camp, we are told repeatedly that we can't do this, we can't talk about that, we can't show this, we can't show that. Yet the NFL Network goes to Pittsburgh Steelers camp. I'm seeing every formation. I'm seeing trick plays. I'm seeing guys line up here and there. They're talking about Jonnu Smith and how he's going to come out of the backfield some and play an H-back role. Watch him do this and do that. I don't – where's the disconnect? Am I missing something?
That yeah, we the, – what's the first three letters in that network name?
Yeah, NFL. Yeah. But I'm watching every – if I am as nervous as most coaches are and worried about everything getting out, I'm not letting them show the practice at all. I'm not letting them do that. I saw so much of Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf and Jonnu Smith yesterday and TJ Watt and the defensive lineup. Hell, they showed special teams and how they're working on a different angle to block the punt. I'm like, this is fascinating. Thank you for my scouting report. I'd have my intern staff or video staff, when they go to an opponent like the Broncos, I would have them devouring, if I'm the Titans, anything Broncos related right now on NFL Network. Secondary to that, the Rams, because that's game number two. But I'd have the Broncos. When they go to Broncos camp, if they show what they did yesterday for the Steelers, hell, that's your scouting report. Everything is there for that. If I'm the Titans or an NFL team, I'm like, hey, same rule should apply. You can only show so much and then get out of here.
It's the NFL Network. I mean, that's why. I agree with you. I think everything you said is valid. But, I mean, that's a part of why they exist, is to show you things that you can't get anywhere else.
Yep. I just think it was like, oh, then what? They're
not ESPN buying them or something?
I don't know. Maybe.
NFL Network is buying a small portion of ESPN.
Or ESPN's buying a small portion of that.
Yeah, I don't think it's – I think ESPN's buying a small portion of NFL Network. I think that's what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah, Dr. Crane.
Yeah, hang on.
So, just anyway, I thought it was very...
Oh, no, Dr. Crane's right.
Oh!
1984 no longer.
I apologize, I apologize, Dr. Crane. NFL will acquire up to 10% of ESPN as part of NFL media deal.
What does 10% mean?
I don't know. You get to go into the meeting? I don't know.
I talk about your hero all the time, Jerry Jones. We bought the Cowboys in 89.
I own him.
You know how much of the Cowboys he bought?
Yeah, he didn't buy them all right away.
What did he? How much did he buy the Cowboys? Not for how much. How much percentage did he give to the Cowboys?
Wasn't it like 49? Was it 51?
51%.
51 that gave him the majority.
And then he bought the other three out.
Yeah.
So you want majority of that. So I don't know what 10% gets you.
What did he pay?
I have no idea. He'd get $10 billion for that right now, easily. Probably more than that.
Okay. Holy crap.
Oh, no. Yeah. I have no idea what this is.
In 1989, Jerry Jones paid $140 million for his portion of the Cowboys.
So basically, the team was worth about $250 million. If he paid 51%, roughly, about $250 million, what could he sell it for today?
He purchased the Cowboys from H.R. Bumbright for $140 million, equivalent to $300 million in 2023. Soon after the purchase, that's when he fired Landry.
Wow, which was
$140 million. Yeah. So now they're worth at least $10 billion.
At least. At least, I mean, that's the bottom, like being nice, very conservative.
Probably are they the richest franchise, or have the highest value of any sports franchise?
I don't know. I don't concern myself with the premier soccer league. I could care less about that.
I mean, it does count.
North America. I mean, of the big three, yeah, it's got me. Yankees. Them. What would the Lakers go for? $10 million or $10 billion?
Yeah, I think so.
So I mean, it's the iconic franchises. You could buy 55 Miami Marlins franchises for that.
The Cowboys are valued at $10.1 billion.
Okay.
This is in 2024. The Golden State Warriors valued at $8.8 billion. Then the Rams at $7.6 billion. The Yankees at $7.55 billion. The Knicks at $7.5 billion. Patriots at $7.4 billion. The Giants at $7.3 billion. Lakers at 7-1, Jets at 6-9, and Niners at 6-8.
So that list is kind of invalid because the Lakers were sold for...
Again, that's the value.
Value, yeah.
It's what they go for. Like everybody, like we talk about the Titans, I think they're valued at like four, something
that's
like
crazy.
That. She would get six.
You think so?
Yes. It's an NFL franchise.
$6 billion for that.
If you found the right rich guy.
Right, which is not us.
That and the other thing too is
could be you though. You get money somewhere.
Not like I don't have that much money. But here's the thing. You can probably count on two hands the number of people in the world that could go stroke a check for an NFL team without any help.
Yeah, I mean
now it's groups. It's ownership groups.
Yeah.
Because the values are just so high.
Does the Oracle guy own Golden State? See that? And they're building I mean they've taken over the top golf area here in Nashville.
Joe Lacob?
Dubin? They've taken over top golf that area. That's Oracle. That's all Oracle. So there's all that money they got there. Maybe they bring Golden State to Nashville. I'm kidding. You got a brand new arena in San Francisco.
I was about to say, that arena is
brand new. It's interesting. The Yankees aren't up. I think the Red Sox and Cubs. I mean, it's the iconic franchises that are up there. But if somebody paid $6 billion for the Titans – I think they need their head examined.
I think it would be hilarious if they did.
What franchise is worth the least, do you think?
In
Carolina? NFL? I'm trying to think.
Probably.
Market and just not success-wise. I think it would be one of those.
Yeah, because, I mean, people might go, well, what about the Browns? I think the Browns are, I mean – They're an iconic franchise.
I think it's a top five fan base. But people love the Browns. I think the more they'll never get to the Super Bowl, the more people love them.
What about the
them.
Lions?
No. I think the Lions are good with the Ford family. I think the Lions, there's a lot of.
Matthew says it has to be Cleveland. I don't think so.
No. The team that's worth the less amount of value right now.
Hair Metal Henry says. Larry Elson will buy the Titans. I don't know who that is.
I don't know. I'm afraid to look. It's probably some adult film star.
Arizona or Jacksonville?
Oh, well, yeah. Jacksonville. I'm sorry. Yeah, there we go.
Probably one
at
of those.
At the list, yep.
Let's see. I was looking for something. Let's go real quick to the phones. Rob wants to weigh in on most expensive franchise. Rob, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to I know that you guys were talking about North America, but in the world, Manchester United, according to Fortune magazine, is the number one rated franchise.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And
how much? Do you know how much?
I don't. It's a fluctuating number, but certainly the Yankees and yeah.
Well, hold on. It says right now, Forbes says that it's worth $6.6
billion. $6.6 billion.
Manchester United is currently valued at $6.6 billion, making the second most valuable football club, soccer club in the world, according to Forbes.
What's the number one?
A pop-up ad. That's what I got right there. It is, I don't know, it's just giving me the number two. It doesn't say what number. Dr. Crane, would you know?
Yes, it's Real Madrid.
Oh, really?
Oh, there we go. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Crane.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks for call, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.
Coming up next, IndyCar driver Colton Herta going to join us. I actually think he's here and going to join us for a second and talk about the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming up this week or coming up at the end of the month. What is so funny? The Nashville Super Speedway.
It's like, oh, God, he's here.
No, that wasn't it at all. we will talk with him. And then John Robinson at the top of the hour. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game here on this Thursday. As we get ready for the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming to the Nashville Super Speedway August 30th and the 31st, the defending winner of that race, Colton Herta, is here with us. Colton, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. You having some fun in Nashville?
Yes. Love it out here.
Yeah. Obviously, you've raced here. You raced on the streets, and then last year, that street race, man, was that, what, 21, where you almost won?
21. Yeah. Fortunately, crashed out. That was running second.
That was
still stings.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. But Nashville, obviously, a racing town and a lot of fun. I know that you're excited to get out to the Super Speedway to end the season at the end of the month.
It's going to be awesome. I love coming here. You know, I I loved it as a street race. I love it as an oval race. We've had success on both. So, you know, for me, just like getting out to the city and being able to race cars out here.
Had you ever been to the Nashville Super Speedway before last year?
Not that I can remember. There might have been a time where my dad was racing an Indy car when they were here in the early 2000s that I might have come for, but I don't remember.
What's it like, you know, kind of following in dad's footsteps in that and having a nice career of your own?
I would say I'm very lucky. You know, I think when you're young, kind of everybody wants to do what their parents do. And I think I was lucky in the sense that my dad had a really cool job that I was able to really fall in love with and ended up being good at it.
Is there extra pressure in IndyCar when you run for a team that has the name Andretti on it?
I think there's a little bit of an expectancy, you know, to be able to perform. You know, this is a team that kind of demands results, right? They have a huge budget. You know, they are one of the top programs. So I think pressure in that sense, but there's also so much pressure that we put on ourselves because we want to do well inside the driver's seat. Yeah.
Colton Herta is with us. So what has this year been like? Because there's one guy that has just had a remarkable year in Alex Palou that, I mean, I know that you guys are competitive. There are other teams that are competitive. Obviously, a couple of guys have won as well, but he has been so dominant. What's it like having to go up against him every week?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've been really good on Fridays and Saturdays. You know, for the past few weeks, we've been better on Sundays, but early on in the season, we didn't have it all together on Sundays, and we had too many mistakes, and unfortunately, that kind of led to a huge gap in points for us. But, you know, I think to see what Alex is doing, he's having, you know, definitely the best season that I can think of in the modern era, and it's definitely going to go down as one of the greatest seasons ever in IndyCar. But you know, for us at this point of the year, it's all about winning races. You know, we've got three races left: Portland, Milwaukee, and then wrapping up here in Nashville. And you know, this is three good chances for us, three good tracks that we've had success at in the past to be able to go out there and win.
Winning is obviously the goal and fun, but what would a win in one of those three races, or obviously you'd love to take them all, what would that do for the confidence of you and your team going into next year?
I mean, that's what it's all about now, right? It's winning for ourselves and to put us into a better place for next year, because the championship's just too far out of reach for us this year. So, you know, I think that's what the goal is, what the focus is. It's kind of an all-out blitz and trying to win races. And like you said, it is a confidence builder. It's a nice thing to go into the off season with. It was great last year. Obviously, finishing second in the championship was awesome, but winning the last race, it just kind of makes your life so much easier going into the off season.
Colton Herta is with us. I have been to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for a Rolling Stones concert, but I've never been for a race, IndyCar or NASCAR. Can you truly put into words just kind of the mystique when you were walking through Gasoline Alley on the morning of the Indy 500?
No, I cannot. It's incredible. I think it's hard to kind of articulate how, like, what 350,000 people is. Like, it's insane. Even in the mornings, like, people are lining up at, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. to get into the track, and the place is the stands are already full by like 9 a.m. and the race doesn't even start till like noon or 1. So, you know, to walk out, that walk is amazing. You know, we usually walk out about 30, 40 minutes before race time and get out there and get going. And, you know, the walk, like you said, through Gasoline Alley, and then it opens up into the racetrack, and just to see the stands, how full they are and the energy. And obviously there's a lot of butterflies at that moment, and a lot of excitement to get going. And it's cool. I mean, it just makes the stakes higher. You know, when you have a big race like that and so many people are invested in it and interested in it, and it gets us fired up even more.
I think that, you know, watching some of the crossover stuff with IndyCar and NASCAR, Kyle Larson running the double the last 2 years is a good thing for both series. I mean, obviously it's going to put eyes on you guys that maybe haven't been there and vice versa.
Right.
When do you think we could see somebody that's an IndyCar regular try and do it. And I know the jump might be a little bit different with the car, but I think that would be cool, whether it's a you or a Joseph Newgarden or somebody like that.
I would love to try it at some point. The biggest thing is when those guys are coming over to Indy, you know, we do like the 2 weeks of practice.
Correct.
You know, so it really gets you kind of in touch and in tune with the car. It would be harder for us to go the other way, right? Because it's just obviously it's just Charlotte and they just qualify, you know, Saturday, race Sunday. So you would want a little bit of a testing program to lead up into it, at least for me, you know, just because it's such a different discipline. If those guys were to just come over and race in an IndyCar race, they would get whooped, and vice versa.
Sure.
If we were to just hop into a NASCAR race, we would get whooped. So I think we're each really good at what we do, but there is a bridge and there is a way to make it strong and have a good performance. There's plenty of times, like Robbie Gordon, Tony Stewart was one of the first ones to do the double from being an IndyCar driver originally to NASCAR. And, you know, there has been a lot of guys that have had success, but it's a tough one. So what is it? 1,100 miles in one day.
Yeah.
That's a lot of driving.
Yeah. What was kind of the reception like for Kyle Larson last year, you know, when he did it for the first time of, you know, here's a guy that's a champion in his sport coming over here, trying this. Now he's a rookie.
I think everybody was excited. You know, the fans were definitely excited. For us, it was interesting. I think everybody's really intrigued about how it was going to turn out, like what he was going to be able to do. You know, I think when we get on track, he's just like any other driver, right? You just try to beat him. But, you know, it was interesting because of his background. And his background isn't even, right? Like, he's a cup driver, but he does so many other things. And he's
dirt.
He does so much on dirt, and he's so talented in that aspect that if there is any NASCAR guy that could do it or should do it, it was definitely him.
All right, so give me the sales pitch here. For somebody, I've been to IndyCar races, but if someone's never seen you guys live, what they're in for at the Nashville Super Speedway August 30th and August 31st?
Yeah, high action, high stakes racing. I love that you guys in Nashville get to experience a short oval or a semi-short oval Super Speedway. You know, for us, it's 200 miles an hour, inches away from each other, inches off the ground. In NASCAR, you might see them top out at 200, but we're in the corners at 200, and these cars are hauling the mail, especially at this track in Nashville. It's a good city to be in for an IndyCar race.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Colton, thanks for doing this. Nice to meet you, and good luck defending your race win from last year.
Thanks so much.
Colton Herta joining us here on the program, IndyCar driver. Who will be at the Nashville Super Speedway for the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming up August 30th through the 31st at Nashville Super Speedway, musiccitygp.com. That's where you can get your tickets. Former Titans general manager John Robinson joins us next here on Chasing Big Joe.